Welcome to Deep Dive, The Power of One. I'm Andy Tarnoff, the host of the Deep Dive Podcast Network, and I'm joined by, I'm going to call you my brilliant therapist friend, Andrea Bose, and you're wincing.
Every time.
You're so modest.
Oh, well, you know, I just don't want to raise people's expectations beyond reality.
Okay, so. That's fair. This is about speaking the truth in relationships. And this podcast in general is about mental health and relationships and a theory that we discussed in the first episode, which is called The Power of One, which is the name of this podcast. And it's a theory that you have developed over your career. And I think it's fascinating and worth talking about.
Just to kind of recap a little, The Power of One is an approach that I came to sitting across the table or across the room from people who came in to work on relationships, thinking that they couldn't get their partner to come in and work on it. And this puts the responsibility on the person who wants the change. And it gives people the opportunity to develop skills so that they can see whether or not this relationship is workable.
It's a very different way of looking at age-old question, should I stay or should I go?
Right.
And we're going to continue to deep dive into that throughout the course of this series. The topic on this episode is speaking your truth in relationships. And that's a very crucial thing when it comes to a healthy or an unhealthy relationship.
So the first part of the approach is to decide what you want or need to speak to in a relationship. And that in itself, I think, is maybe the hardest part, because we've all been conditioned not to speak about emotions. Some people grow up in families where that it's actually suppressed.
Yeah.
And it's not honored. And so people learn how to kind of maneuver around the truth. And speaking the truth has such consequences in people's minds. They fear rejection.
Yeah.
They fear conflict, making things worse. And so they suppress it in relationships. And what happens over time is that they're not speaking their truth. Resentments build. A gulf is created between them and the other person. And it's the last thing that sometimes the people actually think of doing. And it's the first thing that needs to be looked at.
Do you think as humanity evolves or devolves, depending on your perspective, do you think that overall people are getting better at communicating with each other? Because I think back to I wasn't really alive in the 50s and stuff, but or the 40s or whatever, but I imagine these very stoic people who don't communicate. And then I think of, I'm 50, and a lot of people I know are maybe over communicators, myself included, but and then, you know, I have a teenage daughter who is hopefully, I'm wondering if we're evolving, or is this an ongoing thing, or am I just looking at a small sample size of people I know?
No, I think that's a good observation. I do think we're getting better. I do think that there are decades in our human life that things have been super stunted. And the message that people were given growing up sometimes was that it was a sign of weakness,
yeah,
to talk about your feelings. So that's changing. That is truly changing, and I couldn't be happier.
And just within your career, I mean, you're a very busy therapist, so it means to me that a lot of people are getting therapy.
Yes.
And maybe 30 years ago, there were, or 50 years ago, there were fewer people focusing on their mental health and those kind of relationships issues, maybe?
I think so, and I think the stigma around therapy has really changed over time. I see so many people that don't come in for mental illness. In fact, I really don't like that phrase at all. They come in for relationship issues, even if it's depression or anxiety that's driving them in.
Yeah. You have a story about something that happened at a restaurant the other day.
Yes, this just happened. So I have a very good friend. I haven't seen him all summer. And there was something that occurred within the context of a relationship that was hurtful. And I thought about it, and I think every time you do speak your truth, I think it does take careful and thoughtful consideration. So I thought about the relationship, and I thought about whether or not if I didn't speak my truth, if it would make me feel like there was something between us that wasn't clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to breakfast with this friend, and I did bring it up, and he gave me a great what I call an organic moment. Mm-hmm. So he actually brought up a subject that was akin to what my concern was. And I just took that organic moment and kind of slid in, told them about it, and then we processed through. And it, what happens when you speak your truth in the appropriate way and at the appropriate time, it brings you closer to this person. It just solidifies the relationship. It's a risk because you're vulnerable. When you ask for what you need or want, or you say that you're hurt about something, it's a risk. The other person could not get it. They could dismiss it. So there's a risk involved and a vulnerability, which is why people don't do it to begin with.
In the last episode, we kind of gave the overview of the power of one. So I encourage people to go back and watch that. It's not just a theory, though, as you're talking about. It's something that you can do. And I think we should talk about one of the ways that one can practice speaking their truth and starting this process of really doing the power of one things.
So the thing I would start with that I think is the most accessible to people, especially when you're beginning to do this and you're not sure if what you're asking for is reasonable or if it will fit within your personal relationship with this person, to talk to a trusted friend. Bring it up because they're not embroiled in the context as much. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the context can really, and the emotions can really occlude this.
Yeah.
So talking to a trusted friend who's not in that situation to see, is this reasonable for me to expect this? So that's the first thing. People can do journal writing. People can do meditation. One of the really serious things, if you want to get better at understanding your feelings and how to express them, is to look into a dialectical behavioral therapy course, which you can take online.
Okay, I'm going to need some explanation as to what that is.
So it's actually a course of study for emotional development, and it's for people who have pretty serious challenges. I mean, it came out of a deep mental health diagnosis of borderline personality and that sort of thing. However, all of the elements of this are applicable to developing emotional fluency and developing emotional, the ability to handle emotions, mm-hmm. the ability to manage them.
So this is like a self-guided thing to a certain extent?
You can go on and get it, take a course. I believe it's actually, it's interactive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And DBT is the short version of it. So I would recommend it for people who are serious and feel like they don't know what their feelings are, or they're afraid of their feelings, or they don't know how to express them, and they're worried about controlling their own feelings. This would be something that somebody could do.
I wonder about the speaking to a trusted friend thing, because friends typically have a bias toward their friend. Like, how are you going to get a...
Well, but you're not looking for somebody to agree with you. What you're looking for is somebody that can see the situation outside of the emotional context, who will not have... they may have a bias. Mm-hmm. They're going to be supporting you.
Right.
But they're going to be supporting you as you look for speaking your truth.
This is kind of a topical current events thing. And I can't say that I'm an expert on this, but you and I had a conversation about Anna Kendrick and microtraumas.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling them. So Anna Kendrick came across the newsfeed lately with this relationship. She divulged that she'd been in a relationship for 7 years that was abusive. Mm-hmm. And it was emotionally and verbally abusive. For people who don't know who Anna Kendrick is, she's this beautiful young actress who was in Twilight. She's brilliant. She just directed a miniseries on a serial killer.
Yeah, the dating game serial killer.
Yeah. But she just shared that she was in a relationship for 7 years that was abusive. And they were in therapy. And somehow, and I need to dig into this a little bit more.
Yeah.
But just hearing that she was in therapy and the therapist did not understand how abusive this relationship was. And so this went on for a while until the therapist got it. And it made me think, well, why would that be? She's a communicator. She's an actor. She's brilliant. Why would that be? And my conclusion, my soft conclusion, is that she was traumatized. She had micro traumatizations. But by that I mean the things that he would say, the things that he would do would cause little shocks in her. And when that happens in relationships, people have a hard time. They have a hard time recounting it. People will come in and I'll ask a couple, if I have a couple in front of me, what happened? The trauma gets in the way of them expressing what happened. And it's hard to piece it together from that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Because initially I thought, well, this must have been a bad therapist. But maybe you're not a mind reader. And I mean, certainly she has the resources to get a pretty good therapist.
Yep.
But if she has these micro traumas that prevent her from explaining what's really going on.
Right.
Again, the therapist can't. Maybe it is your job to be a mind reader, but
what's your take on that without
actually knowing, you know.
Right. And I certainly would not cast aspersions on any therapist because we can only do what people bring in. And if he, and from what I understand, and this happens often, the partner in this case was very, he was very verbal. He made a good impression.
Yeah.
He was very outgoing.
He just kind of dazzled the therapist.
And then she, I'm just imagining, because I've seen this scenario. Then the woman is crying or upset or is not able to put words together because trauma affects the part of the brain that doesn't help you integrate.
Yeah.
It blocks your prefrontal cortex. And so I think that she might have been trauma, like just not able to really articulate what was going on. And so the concept that you and I were talking about, trauma, when people talk about trauma, they usually are talking about really big things like being abused, like being physically assaulted. But I'm saying within the context of personal relationships, I believe there are micro traumas that affect you temporarily just as much, the same parts of the brain as these bigger traumas. And of course, over the course of time, trauma has bigger implications. But in the course of relationship, I don't think anyone really talks about that much, but I've witnessed it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
I almost want to do an entire, we will definitely do an entire episode or multiple episodes on trauma because we're just kind of, again, we're easing our way into this conversation and it's not, we could spend hours talking about this.
Trauma.
So instead, I think we'll tease it and we'll leave it right there and we'll come back to that one.
Okay.
Speaking your truth in relationships, if only people could just say, yeah, okay, great. I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, it's not as easy as it seems.
What did you say? The power of one is simple, but
not easy.
Not easy.
Yes. And I think this is the hardest part. Just determining whether what you're asking for is reasonable in the context of your own life. So we talked about this last time about the steps of all this approach and how to approach things. And I mentioned just now about the organic moments, which I really talk to people about, like looking for those opportunities that come up about the issue that just spontaneously come up and to kind of slide into those. Speaking your truth, saying it in the right time and at the right way should also be prefaced, I recommend, with something positive. So before you say your truth, that you say something of the sort of, I'm saying this because I care about you.
Yeah.
I'm saying this because I care about the relationship. I'm bringing this up because I feel like we need to clear this. Those kinds of things should be the preludes before you speak your truth and make them true. I mean, don't make them up. I mean, they have to be true because that sets the tone for the whole thing.
Let's leave it there. And we will be back for another episode of Deep Dive, The Power of One. In the meantime, I would like to encourage people who are watching or listening to this to click the like and subscribe button and leave comments because we read them
and
we
questions. Participate.
And questions.
Yes.
Because we'll talk about it. You're in the new Deep Dive podcast studio, the newly renovated one, which we had a there are numerous podcasts going on in this studio, so we tried to make your part a little more. We took down the Velvet Elvis.
Thank you. And this is actually my backdrop, so it feels
does it feel a little bit more therapeutic?
It does, it does.
All right, Andrea, thank you very much, and we will see you next time on Deep Dive, The Power of One.